Dear podcast listeners, on Sunday, January 13th, 2019, service was canceled at St. Paul due to the weather. Therefore, this sermon is being recorded the day after. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, last Sunday afternoon, a very sad thing happened at the Lammy House. We knew it was coming, but that didn't make it any easier. We took down our Christmas decorations. Maybe you've taken yours down, too. The worship and music team took down the ones here a couple of days ago. It's sad, isn't it? It's a lot more fun putting them up. The decorations help you feel like life is somehow different with Christmas, because Jesus' birth is a big deal. And so, among other things, we decorate to celebrate. But then it all ends. You have to take the decorations down. You have to go back to work or school after break. You have to go back to the reality of everyday life. Which is what's going on in the Gospel of Luke, too. Right, this Gospel gave a lot of attention and spent a lot of ink telling the story around Jesus' birth. 132 verses in all, chapters 1 and 2. But then the story goes to the reality of everyday life. And it does so in one verse. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and years, and in divine and human favor. That one sentence summarizes around 30 years. So basically, as far as the gospel writer is concerned, not much happened with Jesus as he was growing up. But then, when he does show up again, here in chapter 3 to be baptized by John, it feels like it's barely a blip on the radar. Right? There were 132 verses around his birth, and only 22 around his baptism. And most of those are about John. Jesus' actual baptism is quickly glossed over. Then we get only 2 verses about the voice from heaven and the Spirit coming down. So basically, today is the baptism of our Lord Sunday. But this event doesn't seem to be as important as the birthday of our Lord, both in the gospel account and in our own lives. I mean, none of us are hanging up baptismal decorations today. We're not buying little pool floaties to give as gifts. We're not making cookies in the shape of doves. Intellectually, we know baptism is important. But by the time this day rolls around on the calendar, we're more focused on the stuff of daily life. We're looking at our credit card bills and regretting that we spent so much on Christmas. Or we're looking at the scale and regretting that we ate so much for Christmas. But life goes on. The credit card bill gets paid, the resolution to go to the gym gets made, and the decorations get put away. And our focus has moved on from baby Jesus. Now we're paying attention to things like government employees who aren't getting paid. We're paying attention to Wright State faculty who are planning to go on strike. We're paying attention to digging out of this first major snowstorm of the winter. So much for peace on earth and goodwill toward all, huh? It's back to the real world problems and worries now. But that's also what's going on in the Gospel of Luke. Before this baptism scene, we hear about some problems and worries too. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's trying to get the people to listen to what God has to say in the midst of their worries. He knows times are tough and people need help making good choices. And the people are attracted to him. The crowd asks him questions like, "What should we do?" and he gives them practical answers. He tells them to share their food and clothes. He tells tax collectors not to steal money. He tells soldiers not to extort money, but to be satisfied with their wages. These people have questions about daily life, and they're coming to John for help. Today, we have questions about daily life, and we go to all sorts of places for help. We go to our family members and friends. We go to Dr. Phil or Oprah. We might even come here and hope that we learn something practical. The focus has moved on from the baby in the manger. If these people who are coming to baptize by John had heard about Jesus' birth, they've either forgotten about it or they've moved on from it. I mean, it was 30 years ago. For us, Christmas was only 3 weeks ago, but it still feels like a long time. So the decorations have to be put away. Plus, that boy who was announced by the angels hasn't really done a whole lot. He grew up and basically lived an obscure life, just like us. And maybe this is why the people, quote, were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. Right? John is out there. He's doing things. He's making a name for himself. He's helping people and baptizing them and calling them to live a new way. You can understand why they thought he was the Messiah. But John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John basically gives Jesus a grand introduction to the stage, but he doesn't even say Jesus' name. Maybe that's because he doesn't know Jesus will be the one. In the Gospel of John, for example, we hear John the Baptist say, I myself did not know him. John knows that God is going to do something great, but maybe he doesn't know how it's going to happen. In verse 21, we hear that all the people were baptized, and then Jesus also had been baptized. It sounds almost like an afterthought on the point of the writer. This text is really less about the actual baptism of Jesus and more about the promise from John that God is going to do something great. But the gospel writer does give us an important detail about Jesus' baptism. After everyone, including Jesus, was baptized, and after Jesus prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. Then he heard a voice say, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Unlike the Gospel of Matthew, this message is not, This is my Son, the Beloved, which is directed to the people, but rather, You are my Son, the Beloved, which is directed to Jesus. Yes, God is doing something great, and God is doing it in the midst of our real problems and worries. Jesus, who had lived an obscure life, still heard the promise that he belonged to God. In this crazy world, God still claimed him and then sent him out to proclaim God's love to the world. And God does that with you, too. Yes, I know that many of us don't remember the event of our baptism. And maybe we don't even remember what day it happened on. We just remember other people telling us that it happened. But when you were baptized, a promise was spoken over you as well. Yes, there were real struggles in life, and people were not talking about peace on earth and goodwill toward all. And yes, your life was rather obscure. But in the midst of all of that, God still spoke over you and said, "You are my son. You are my daughter, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." No matter what is going on in the world, no matter what's holding your attention, no matter what's keeping you up at night, you still belong to God. And God is still well pleased with you. The rest of the world might not care. Your baptism might not even be a blip on their radar. But it happened. And in that moment, time slowed down so that you could hear that divine promise being spoken over you. It was something like, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine." The Christmas decorations have to get taken away. But that cross marked on your forehead in baptism never gets taken away. No matter what's going on in your daily life, you still belong to God. That is good news. In the name of the one who was baptized by John, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.